Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the shadows of the George Washington Bridge in the swamps of Jersey, this is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. And from Daytona Beach, Florida, we welcome in Mr. Luke Morrow. This is Teeing It Up presents the NFL Sunday Sprint. Hello, Luke.
Good morning.
How are we today on this week 9 in the National Football League?
Crazy to think that we've reached already the midway point of this NFL season. But it's always a good day when there's NFL football, and there's a handful of very good games this afternoon that we get to talk about.
Yes, we do. Let's start here, for lack of a better other starting point. JPP is going to play today with 8.5 fingers. Did you ever think that would happen?
maybe not this quickly. I'm surprised the Giants had so much interest in him really all along. And we'll see what sort of impact he has today. But I think for a defensive lineman, that could be a big injury to be missing parts of your hand.
It'll be fascinating to see how well he can move along. The Rams are facing the Vikings. What should I know about this game, Luke, besides the fact that here we are, midway point of the season, Vikings still in it, you still got to be happy. And with the Packers losing, it changes that division slightly.
It does, and this game's getting a lot of attention, I see, in the national media this morning and over the weekend. But you know, if it's too early to look at the playoff picture, then forgive me, but these are two teams right now that, in the playoff picture, the Vikings are 6th and the Rams are 7th. And if you expect these two to continue to play the way that they have, and they'll continue to battle one another with a handful of other teams in the NFC for one of the wild card spots. So just in that sense alone, this becomes an important game. But they're two very similar teams when you look at the numbers, when you look at how they play the game. And for me, it comes down to the run games of both sides. If AP can have a typical AP game, and on the other side, if Todd Gurley can keep up what he's done, because he's been off to an incredible start. So for the Vikings, be able to protect their quarterback and create some running room against a very tough front four of the Rams. Unfortunately, the game's in Minnesota. That helps slow down a pass rush a bit. And then on the other side, try to contain Gurley and make Nick Foles beat you. The only issue is that the Vikings may be without three of their front seven starters, including their top two linebackers, but which could allow Gurley to put up some good numbers once again.
Is Todd Gurley your rookie of the year? Because he's mine.
Yeah, I got to say so. I mean, we saw when AP was a rookie and putting up big numbers, and even throughout his career, we always hear these records and these numbers, first guy to do this, first guy to do that, yada, yada, yada. And now Gurley's doing the same thing, and he keeps getting mentioned with the things that Adrian Peterson has done. So it's been a phenomenal year for Gurley and for anybody that plays the Rams. I mean, he's got to be public enemy number one and try to have Nick Foles beat you, because the guy hasn't thrown for more than 200 yards in something like 6 weeks.
Will we look back and see this as the game that decided the playoff picture?
I think it could go a long way. But, you know, for the Vikings, for them in particular, they have the toughest schedule in the NFL from here to the end of the season. So I don't know if you can pinpoint one game at this point that will affect their year. They're going to have tests each week from here on out. And on the other side, for the Rams, this could certainly go a long way, because a win would propel them into the number 6 spot. The win on the road, you continue your winning ways. They've won a few in a row here. So this is a big game for both teams, and I think specifically the Rams here moving forward.
Let's segue into the next game this way. Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Geno Smith, who do you trust more?
Ooh, even with the busted-up thumb, I got to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick over Geno Smith.
I agree, but is Ryan past Teddy?
You know, that's an interesting question. I was excited to see what Bryce Teddy had to offer, assuming he would get the chance. It's tough to determine without having seen him. If Fitzpatrick is good enough where he can play and be good enough where you don't have to worry about him both health and performance, I would say Fitzpatrick. But I wouldn't rush him back because of fear of playing Bryce Petty, I would like to see what Petty would have, especially against the Jaguars. So Fitzpatrick is playing today. I assume it's because there's nothing to worry about, if you will, in terms of injury or performance.
What's funny about that is that you completely misheard my question. I was referring to Teddy Bridgewater, not Bryce Petty, but it's an interesting question that you brought up, which is what the Jets will do in terms of how many quarterbacks are active in case Fitzpatrick's thumb is bad and in case Geno is banged up. So as we talk about this, I'll see what I can get on that. Jets and Jaguars. The Jaguars, Luke, are actually a competent 2-5 team. The Jets got walloped last week in Oakland, their spot of doom. I was concerned about that game. It really panned out that way. So looking at it, the way that I look at it, this is kind of sort of a must-win for the Jets to get back on the winning path before Rex and the Bills come in Thursday night in what will be an emotional atmosphere for Rex. Chris Ivory was never established last week in the running game. And watch out today, Luke, for the X factor. Stephen Ridley is going to make his Jet debut.
You know, that's twice in a row now that I've misheard you, and I heard Teddy over Teddy. But, you know, for Fitzpatrick and the Jets this afternoon against the Jaguars, I agree. This is a game at home against the Jaguars team that you need to win going into the short week. And Blaine Gabbert has done some good things this year. I think he's playing better than certainly last year. And I think even then he's not getting a whole lot of mentions. But I think Gabbert is having an underrated, pretty good year for a number two quarterback. But the Jets, you hope Fitzpatrick is good to go or good enough, and you have to find a way to win.
Bryce Petty is not active, so there's no chance Jets have two quarterbacks active today. So, a lot of pressure on Mr. Fitzpatrick to stay active and stay healthy, because I don't think any Jet fans want to rely on Geno. Let's look now as we move forward here. Packers, Panthers. This is an undefeated Carolina team. They're not sexy. They don't do anything that makes you jump out, Luke, and say, oh my God, how is this team so good? But Cam Newton is coming of age. Jonathan Stewart, good running back for them. This is just kind of an offense that just kind of bumps along, moves along. Great defense led by Luke Kuechly. And here they are undefeated.
Yeah, and here they are, a home team today and an underdog against the Packers, which if I'm the Panthers, I know you don't look too much into that, but I'd be a little insulted. For the Panthers, 66% of the offense runs through Cam Newton, and he's been putting up good numbers both as a team and individually. And on the other side, you have Aaron Rodgers, who hasn't lost back-to-back games since 2010. And let me preface this by saying I think he is the best quarterback in the league. But some stats for you. In his career, he's only two games over 500 away from Lambeau. He has lost 8 consecutive games on the road against teams with winning records. He's averaging just 20 points a game on the road in the last 12 games. He and the Packers are an entirely different team away from home. Then you go up against a good Panthers team today with a good defense, with the Packers having allowed more than 500 yards in back-to-back weeks. Call me crazy. I think Rodgers loses back-to-back games for the first time in 5 years.
You watch the Packers a lot. What happened last week? What was so different about this Packer offense?
You know, I have no idea. I have never seen Aaron Rodgers rattled like he was last week. He looked human, and he looked even worse than that. He just looked bad, and the entire Packers offense did. And I was, even against a good Broncos defense, I was shocked to see that. It was really weird. Not what I was expecting. And I think he'll bounce back today as an easier test against the Panthers team, but they still have a good defense. And like I said, he's just not the same guy outside of Lambeau.
Are the Raiders and Steelers the two AFC wildcard teams when this is all said and done?
I wouldn't mind. I've jumped on the Raiders bandwagon. I think they have a good team this year. I was expecting them coming in to be much improved. I don't know if I was expecting them to be a playoff team. But you know, Derek Carr has been fantastic, and we hear a lot about Teddy Bridgewater in his second year, even Blaine Gabbert. Then you talk about other guys like Colin Kaepernick, who with his fall from grace. But Derek Carr has had one of the best seasons in the league from the quarterback position, and he's just in year two. So I'm excited about Carr and this Raiders team, and I think they pull off the upset against the Steelers today, and I think that they hang in there till the end of the year in the AFC playoff picture.
They're legit. I can tell you firsthand, having seen the wrath of the Raiders last week, they're legit. I think this is a win before Big Ben comes back. Now that Ben is back, I think the Steelers win this game. But Oakland's legitimate, and Amari Cooper is a stud. And when Darrell Revis says you'll be special, that's when you know you're special.
Yeah, that's true. They got a lot of young talent on that Raiders team, so they could be good for the next handful of years, and Jack Del Rio has got them going.
Pep Hamilton fired. Dissension between Grigson and Pagano. Andrew Luck does not look like Andrew Luck. We can talk about the Broncos if you want, but for me, this is how far will the Colts fall. This was the quarterback messiah Andrew Luck was, and the messiah is not doing my opening work that a lot of people thought he would do. Instead, he looks to be going backwards and not forwards, and you wonder how hurt he is.
I know. It's very odd. I mean, this is a guy that threw for 40 touchdowns last year, and I don't know if we've ever seen a drop-off like that where a guy puts up the numbers he did last year and even throughout the first few years of his career and then plays as poorly as he has this season so quickly. And Pep Hamilton became the fall man. But the Colts have a lot to figure out offensively. And then now you have T.Y. Hilton with a foot injury, may not even play today. You're going up against one of the best defenses in the league in the Broncos, so things may not get any easier for Luck in that Colts team. But what a difference last week in the two halves where you saw the two tails of Andrew Luck at this point now, playing terrible through most of the game and then turning it on in about the fourth quarter and into overtime before, of course, throwing that final interception. But he looked like the Luck of old. So I don't know if it's an injury or what's going on, but very odd to see him play so poorly.
We shall see how this shakes out. We are getting towards, Luke, the end of our radio program, which means we have to start talking about games. What is your game of the day?
I'm going with the Packers and Panthers, combined the two teams with just one loss this year.
So am I, Joe Buck. Troy Aikman will have that game. What is your sleeper game of the day?
Even though we talked about it, I'll say Raiders-Steelers because I feel it's not getting a ton of attention. And as mentioned, the Raiders, I think, are a team to be – could be reckoned with.
I'm going to go with a tie between that game and Rams-Vikings. I think we could look back at those two games as elimination games.
Ooh. Well, then I hope the Vikings win.
The game that you want to watch the Sanderson Farms Championship during?
I'll say Falcons-Niners. Niners are terrible, and each week it looks like the Falcons are more of a contender than a contender.
Titans-Saints is up there. You got two teams not going in the right direction. Now there's talk that if Tom Benson loses the Saints, Sean Payton has an out that can let him go. That game's awful. And frankly, I think that the Sunday night game is not going to be pretty either between the Eagles and the Cowboys. What is your eliminator survivor lock game?
I know I've picked them before. Maybe that's going against the rules, but there's no way the Patriots lose at home today against the Redskins.
I agree that game is heavily one-sided. I also believe that the Giants are going to be extremely one-sided against the Bucks. I know it's a little out there, but I think that could be heavily one-sided.
Yeah, the game is the Giants need to win.
Yes, who is your player to watch today?
I'll say Derek Carr, having a great year. Needs to continue it on the road against the Steelers today. Keep the Raiders' hopes continuing.
Can Ryan Fitzpatrick not fumble the football? That is a question for me. And finally, your favorite Dave Matthews song is?
Ooh, putting me on the spot. Too many to choose from. Big fan.
Okay. That's a serious cop-out answer.
I know. I can't pick. It's too tough.
All right. I'll have to ask you next week on the show.
Okay. I'll give you an answer next week.
That's Luke Morrow. I'm Jeremy Schilling. Enjoy your football Sunday, Monday, and, of course, next Thursday. This is National Football League, and you've been listening to the Teeing It Up presents the Sunday Sprint on Blog Talk Radio, the Golf News Net Radio Network, and iTunes. See ya.